Well, again, good evening. I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them again to Matthew chapter 21. Appreciate the reading that Ahmad did for us a few moments ago. We're going to be looking at this particular passage of Scripture, verses 23 through 27 this evening as we think about the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's basically what we're dealing with here in this particular lesson. And the idea behind this story is for us to take a look at the characters there and to look at the situations that have transpired here with Jesus and the Jewish leaders at this time. Now, when we look at this in the story, the chief priests and the elders come to Jesus to do what many of us do but fail to admit that we're guilty of doing. They did exactly that, and we look at them in this story and we ridicule them and we say to ourselves, how in the world is it that they could be so blind about Jesus and ignorant to who He was, and we do some of the very same things and we won't admit it. And so what I want us to do this evening is, and this afternoon, is I want us to consider where these men went wrong and where we sometimes go wrong as well in our approach to the authority of Jesus Christ, because that's ultimately what we're dealing with here in this passage of Scripture. I want us to go back, and I do want us to read the passage of Scripture again by way of reminder and to help us get focused on the text tonight. It says, and when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered them, I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, the first thing that I want to suggest that the leaders of the Jews did that was a mistake is this. They came in and they interrupted Jesus' teaching. Now, you notice that? Here is Jesus. He is in the temple and he is teaching. He's teaching. He's doing something wonderful. There's a crowd of people who are standing around. They are listening to his words of wisdom, to the wonderful message that he has to deliver them. And all of a sudden, we have this group of individuals that come in and they interrupt the teaching. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone standing like Jesus standing here to preach a lesson or deliver a message to us tonight, to have him stand here and have somebody walk in the door and interrupt his teachings, thus depriving the folks that were listening of the grace his words offered? Can you imagine that? Now, why do I say that? And how does that relate to us? You know, sometimes there are these attempts at silencing Jesus. The words of Jesus in our minds and in our conscience and in our ears, in our thoughts. You know, our conscience, it gets to us sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes we've listened to the Word of God and we hear about it and we recognize our deficiencies as Christians and we understand our shortcomings. And you know what? Sometimes our conscience gets us, doesn't it? And a lot of times we want to silence that. We don't want to hear about it. And a lot of times we don't want to hear about other people telling us when we've made mistakes. And so they attempted to silence Jesus. You know, when they came here in this particular passage of Scripture, they weren't interested in hearing what he had to say. They weren't interested in the teachings that he was gracing the people with. They just wanted him to be quiet. And a lot of times we do that. We want people to be quiet and not badger us and not bother us with the teachings that are being taught from God's Word. But we got to continue to do those teachings. You know, what happens a lot of times is this. We want to just be able to ignore the issue. Maybe Jesus, as was the case, maybe they just didn't like what he had to say. Maybe they didn't enjoy what he was talking about. And I can understand that because often Jesus condemned the Jewish leaders for their misapplication of God's Word and disobedience to it. And we don't like being told that we're wrong, but oftentimes Jesus had to tell them, you're wrong. Not only are you wrong about this teaching, you have misapplied it. You have misrepresented it, but not only that, you have disobeyed it. You are guilty of it. Now, those people didn't like being told that they were wrong. And how many of us like being told that we're wrong? And that's the problem with the world today. Nobody thinks that they're wrong. And they don't want to believe that they're wrong. And when you tell them that this is not in harmony with God's Word, this is wrong, they just want you to be quiet and leave them alone. And I'll live the way that I want to live. And I'll go back to my comfortable spot, and I won't worry about it anymore. I don't want to be bothered by that, because if I worry about that, that's going to cause me anxiety, that's going to make me feel uncomfortable, and I don't want to hear about it. And so that's the way it was with those folks there. On this case, they interrupted Jesus. Why? Because they wanted to silence Him. They don't want to listen to His message. They don't want to be governed by His authority. So that's the first mistake. All they did, though, is to grace the audience with their ignorance. You notice that? Well, didn't that get them? They came in to silence Jesus. I don't know if they were trying to ensnare Him. They wanted to try to make Him look foolish, I guess. By whose authority are you doing this? You're not doing this by our authority, and we're the leaders here. And they wanted to make themselves look big and important and smart and intelligent. And all they ended up doing was what? Gracing the audience with their ignorance. Because we're going to get to see that towards the end of the story. Because they weren't as smart as they thought they were. Jesus is going to call them on this and point it out to them. And they ended up looking bad before those people. But a lot of times we want to interrupt Jesus' teachings. I don't want to hear any more. Okay, that's good. We don't want to submit to His authority. And here's the challenge to the authority here as well. So that's the second mistake that they made. They challenged the authority of Jesus. Okay, they came in, they interrupted His teachings, silenced Him, caused the people there not to be able to hear what He was saying. And now they have challenged His authority. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Well, all you got to do is start right there, and that'll tell you who gave Him His authority. And these are just a few verses. I didn't have enough room on the slide to put all the verses that I could have put down talking about the authority that has been given to Jesus. But we'll start here at Matthew chapter 28, and we'll just start looking at several of these passages of Scripture together. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, we go over to John chapter 13. And we look at verse 3 of this particular passage of Scripture, and listen to what Jesus says. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, He laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. All things had been given into His hand. Acts 2, 36. Here Peter, as he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and is talking to those folks there, those Jews. Listen to what he has to say. "Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him," who? Jesus. "This man that you have crucified, that He has made Him both Lord and Christ," this Jesus whom you've crucified. Lord and Christ. When you think about being a Lord, what do you think about? Well, you think about being a ruler. A person that has authority. And so, God has made Him both Lord and Christ, the Messiah. We think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here in the resurrection chapter of the Bible, we can look at this passage of Scripture about authority again. It says, "For God has put all things in subjection under His feet." But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that He has accepted who put all things in subjection under Him. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And we could have gone to Philippians chapter 2. But in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority." And then we finish out in 1 Peter. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. Listen to what the apostle has to say here. who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to Him. Where'd you get that authority? We got the authority from God. Now, when you think about their challenge to His authority, you notice what Jesus did. Jesus turned the table on them. And if you'll think about it, those of you that have been in our Fishers of Men class, this is what we call what kind of learning? Discovery learning, when you ask what, when, how, why questions. So Jesus turned the tables on them and asked them a question. And it was an open question. We know what that is. We've been studying it for about 9 weeks now. An open question. And I'm going to ask you a question. Where baptism of John come from? From heaven or of men? So here Jesus turns the table on and He challenges them. They challenge His authority. Now, I want you to answer a question for me. Where did this come from? From heaven or men? Now, what that indicates is this. And again, sometimes we like to challenge the authority of Jesus, don't we? We do this in our life when we think that we have greater wisdom than He does. When we want to challenge what it is that He's told us to do in our life. And there's a lot of people that challenge these things. You know, you think about the particular issue in the conversation here. The baptism of John. Was it from heaven or was it from men? You know, there's a lot of people that struggle with that today. And we could ask that same question here in the Christian age. Okay, the baptism that was delivered on Pentecost. From heaven or men? What is your answer to that question? Is that from heaven or is it from men? And the same response would apply in that case that applied here. Because if it's from heaven, what should you do? That's what those people said. Listen, if we say that the baptism of John is from heaven, then He's going to ask us this question. Well, then why haven't you been obedient to it? And so the same question can be asked today. New Testament baptism, is it from heaven or from man? And if the answer is it's from heaven, then why have you not been obedient to it? If it's from man, I understand why people want to refuse to do that. But if this is from heaven, if this is from God, if it's a command that Jesus gave, if this is a command from the apostles, and it's from heaven, and we accept that those men are inspired apostles, then why have we not been obedient to it? Same question. But there's a lot of people that want to challenge that authority of Jesus, right? They want to challenge whether that's something that we have to do in order to be saved, when the Scriptures record that it is. When the Scriptures record it is something we must do in order to have the remission, we want to challenge that authority. And that's not the only area where we challenge the authority of Jesus when it comes to the Scriptures. There's a lot of people that are challenging that authority. Many have challenged the authority of Jesus in the Scriptures when it comes to a women's role in the church and leadership. And there's a lot of folks that are doing that. There are many people that have challenged the authority of Jesus when it comes to marriage. And so these individuals, although we look down on them, they challenge the authority. Sometimes we challenge the authority of Jesus in our lives as well. And it may not be in what we consider some of these big areas either. Might be in some of these areas that we think are a little bit less substantial. Is it that important and significant that I assemble to provoke my brethren to love and good works? Am I challenging His authority? Is that significant? Is it that important? Is it that important that I be a little bit evangelistic in my life as a servant of Jesus Christ? Or is it okay if I just try to live a good life and not get in everybody's way and not cause a big ruckus or a stir and not try to do anything really bad? Is it okay for me just to live like that? Or have I been given a commission to evangelize and to spread the gospel message? And so we challenge the authority of Jesus in what we consider to be less substantial areas, but we do the same thing that these leaders did in our life as well. And so these Jewish leaders made the mistake of challenging the authority of Jesus, which is what many of us continue to do today. And it's time for us to be submissive to Jesus. Get on board with His teachings. And then, the Jewish leaders made the mistake of bringing a knife to a gunfight. That's what they did. They brought their inferior wisdom to a battle of wits with God. Well, the Scriptures record, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and guess what? The Word was God. Here you've got these Jewish leaders that have decided they're going to come and they are going to match wits with the Almighty. And that was their mistake. And a lot of times we want to match wits with God. We want to tell Him what we think is going to be best for us in our life and how we ought to be able or be allowed to live our lives. And if that's not in harmony with what your Word teaches us to do, well, I'm sorry, but I think I know what's best for me in my life. I think I know what's going to bring me the greatest enjoyment. I think I know what's going to bring me the greatest happiness. And yet, we have to look back and we have to see that all the things that we believe are going to bring us the greatest happiness, all those things have been tried before and it's failed. Solomon tried it long ago. He tried everything. And I don't know if Ecclesiastes was written during a time where he left God. We know that he did. We know that he stopped living the way that he should live and stopped respecting God's words. Maybe he believed he had become a little bit smarter than God. And I'm not sure whether Solomon ever repented and made things right with God. Some suggest that he may have done that towards the end of the life of his life. Others think that, no, they're not sure that he ever did that. Although there were some things that he said towards the end of Ecclesiastes that would make you think that maybe he came back to his senses a little bit, but he tried everything. He thought that being smart and being educated would be the pinnacle of humanity. And so he gave himself to learning. And he came to find out that that's not what's going to make you complete and whole. And so he decided to party. Oh yeah, if I'll go out and party, and I'll have a good time, and I'll just live it up. I got all this money anyway, I might as well spend it. I might as well spend it doing the things that I enjoy and having a good time. And he tried it with partying, and he realized that's not going to cut it either. And he tried it with things. And you know what? If I'll go out and I'll buy all these different possessions, and if I'll just fill my household up with all of the worldly things that I can have and that I can gain, well, surely that's going to do it for me. No, sorry. How about women? I'll try women. If I have more women, maybe that'll make me happy. I'm not even going to go there. 700 wives and 300 concubines later, he was a wreck. And he finally realized what? Listen, ladies, don't feel bad. If there was a woman that had 700 husbands and 300 concubine men, they'd be just as miserable, okay? Just as miserable. So don't think that I'm trying to step on your toes only. What's the point? Point is, sometimes in our lives we just think we've got it all figured out. And that I'll find joy and contentment and happiness and I'll find completion and fulfillment in life through all of these different things. And it's already been tested. It's already been shown to be a failure. So that finally Solomon just concludes. Here is the conclusion. I've done all these things. I've written about it. Talked about my shortcomings. Showed you where I've made mistakes. Don't make the same mistake. And we just keep walking right into the same trap, don't we? The same trap. Why? Because we just believe that we're a little bit more intelligent than God. And we're bringing a knife to a gunfight. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we notice verse 25 of this particular passage of Scripture. You know, Paul's dealing with some folks that felt a lot like this. Many of these people that he spoke to and that he taught in Corinth, they came out of worldliness, wickedness, immorality. I mean, you talk about some of the wicked things of this world, and these people had been guilty of it. And he goes on to talk about in verse 25, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now, what's he saying this in reference to? Well, there's a lot of people that are going to tell you that this idea of Jesus Christ and Him being your Savior, that's just foolishness, especially to these Greeks. That can't be right. No, we're smarter than that. We don't believe that. You're telling me that the Messiah or the Savior of the world, the one that can provide us with all of these blessings and salvation, the God of gods, you're telling us that He hung on a cross? We don't buy that. We're a little bit too intelligent to recognize that someone that went to a cross and didn't even have the power to save himself could actually save us. It's foolishness. They had conned themselves, many of them, into thinking there was no sense or no point being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul would say to them, you know what? We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So, they brought their knives to a gunfight. If you thought that you're going to match wits with God, and you're going to come out on top, then you're wrong. If you continue to argue the point spiritually, one of these days you're going to be dead wrong. And then, when we look at the story in Matthew chapter 21, after Jesus has questioned them, notice what happens. Then they turned into cowards. Why? Well, look, they can't give Him an answer. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the understanding. They haven't studied. A lot of times we don't look after the answer. We don't seek after the answers. We're just happy to live in ignorant bliss. But here they become cowards. And we know what Revelation 21 talks about. It talks about not only liars being condemned, but also those that are cowardly. So listen to these folks here. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves. So you can kind of, you know, here. Come here, let's talk about this for a second. We're going to have a little gathering of the mind. So we're going to discuss this together. Okay, well, here are our options. If we say it is from heaven, then He's going to say to us, well, then why have you not believed Him? So we can't say that, because then that would condemn us. But on the other hand, if we say from man, well, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all believed that John was a prophet. So guess what? We're going to take the chicken way out. We don't know. Wait a second. You people are the spiritual leaders of the Jews. If this man is a fraud, why have you not presented him as a fraud? Because he is leading so many people astray right now. It says that in the Scriptures, all of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to John, what? To be baptized of him in the Jordan River. So you wise men, you religious spiritual leaders are going to continue to let that happen. If he is a fraud, expose him as a fraud. And you know what? We need to do a little bit more of that ourselves. There's a lot of fraudulent Bible teaching going on in our community, and we're letting people walk right into those doors and be fed those lies. If he's a fraud, expose him as the fraud he is. But if he's not a fraud, and if you've not looked into this, then shame on you for not knowing he's not from God. So they took the cowardly approach. You know, sometimes I think we do the same thing as well in our life. Instead of upsetting the apple cart, instead of having to stand in opposition to those that we love and that we want to see do what's right, we just sweep it under the rug and ignore it and go on our merry way and leave them exposed to the error that they are living in. Let's not take the cowardly way out. Let's look at Jesus as the ultimate authority for us in the church, and let us wholly submit to Him with our lives. That's what we need to do. And so tonight, if you have not wholly submitted to Jesus Christ, it's time for you to do that. It's time for you not to be afraid anymore. It's time for you not to sit there and say, you know, I'm just too afraid to get up there and walk down there and confess that, Jesus, I'm just going to go home lost again. It's time not to be afraid anymore. It's time to stand up and submit to Jesus Christ. If you believe that, make yourself right with Him this evening. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Don't continue to challenge His authority. Don't continue to walk away from Him. Serve Him tonight, and do so now while together we stand and sing.